I appreciate your prayers. I'd like to read a little bit of Philippians 3. I'll start in the first verse. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. I'm thinking a little bit this morning about winning. Win means to gain by success in competition or contest. So I think the Apostle Paul here is writing. He's saying that everything that he had accomplished in life, he was willing to suffer the loss of it. It wasn't valuable to him. He wanted, foremost of everything, he wanted to win. He wanted to be a winner. Well, I like being a winner. And most people like to win rather than lose. I don't want to lose. It's not all that important in this life of the things that we do a lot of times, whether we come out on top or we don't come out on top in the games or the contests we may play. But in the eternal contest, very important that we win. And the Apostle Paul here starts this out by talking about the things that we're to beware of. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision, of the things that touch them of that time. You beware of it, because these are the things that you're competing against this. You are competing the contest of our life today. We put our great combatants, the devil. Well, the devil's an adversary. There's no doubt about it. The devil's an adversary, but there's other adversaries to look at. In other words, the devil can only do with what he's got to do with. If he's got power to work on, he's got things to work with, he does. He has our flesh. Our flesh is an opponent of ours. The things around us, the world, the things that's necessary. We heard that a lot in this meeting that we had, our revival meeting. The brother kept on saying and bringing to our minds the idea that the things of this world, the things that's not sin, he kept saying, the things that may not be just sin to us, but those are can be a competition to our affections, to our heart's affections, the things they have. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my soul. But I'm interested in the process today, and I think the Apostle Paul's giving us a little glimpse into the process of it. He said that I might win Christ. That when my competition with this is over, that I've got a good hold on Christ. That I put Him before everything else in my life. That I'm winning. There's an importance in winning. Thought about some of the wars that the world went through and how much difference that it made. Just think for a moment, what would it have been like if in the Revolutionary War for this country's independence, if we hadn't won? What if George Washington wasn't successful and the British had won? And the United States was never any more than a colony. Well, I can't tell you everything that what could have happened after that, but it would have been a vast difference in the makeup of this country. And do you know that the Revolutionary War was not just one battle? It wasn't just one battle. Lord, help us to know it's not just one battle. You might fail in a battle. There may have been things in your life that you would have said, I did not win. I didn't win that battle. And I fought it. I had to go fight again. And I didn't win that one either. But by help and grace of God, I'm going to win. The war wasn't... You know that there was many, many, many backsets to the Americans in the Revolutionary War. It didn't look like it was possible to take on the greatest nation empire in the world and win. They were a ragtag bunch. They thought they were going to freeze to death. They didn't have hardly anything. You know, they lost battles. They got chased and lost battles and lost battles. Won battles and lost battles. But they won the war. They won the war. So I want to encourage us today with that same idea. You've got to win battles. You've got to win battles. They won't be gigantic battles all the time, but you got to win your battles. Another war that was in our history, the Civil War. You know, think about the Civil War. What if the North hadn't won? Now, there was a lot more to that war than slavery. The South had separated itself from the North and then intended on there being two nations. And Abraham Lincoln said, no, there won't be two nations. There'll be one nation. We're going to fight to preserve one nation. And the fight was over slavery. It was over the different concepts that they had of what should be right and wrong there. But they fought for the right to succeed from the nation and the right to keep a nation. And there's still arguments today about whether somebody's got that kind of right or not. But the nation was... What if the North had lost? Did you know the North lost a lot of battles? I'm going to tell you, it was back and forth. I think there was providence in it, but outside of that, you think of it if you've ever seen the history of that. Do you know that there was a lot of battles that the North lost, and there was a time when the United States was looking for support from who was the other nations of the world looking on? Who was they going to support? It was important. Who was going to win? Who was they going to give their support for? There was a time that France and some of the other ones looking and saying, looks like the South might win. Because they were winning battles. You know, our nation would be different today if the North had lost. And they lost battles. But they won battles too. They won battles. And I'm going to tell you today, don't underestimate the importance of your battle. It may not seem like a big battle at the time, but you got to win your battle. And what I'm talking about, and you know I'm not talking about fighting with your hands, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the battles for faith. A battle for righteousness. A battle for quality in my life. A battle for honesty in my own life and in my own heart. A battle that I fight. I've got to win my battles. And if I lose the battle, it doesn't mean the war's lost. So many times we can get discouraged because I've lost the battle. I hate losing the battles.
But Lord, help us when we do lose the battles, that we don't get discouraged, but we pick ourselves up and say, Lord, help me by your grace to win the next battle. Do you know, I believe that you can be saved and sanctified. I use all the terminologies that you want to do and be going on and praise the Lord. The Lord's got me right in the place, and I believe that we can cool off and get weak if we ain't careful. You miss your devotion. You miss your way of living. You miss it and find out what happens. You lose a battle. All of a sudden something happens that you say, I should have been better. Oh, I feel bad about this. I didn't perform the way I really wanted to perform there. I lost my grace. I lost my temper, maybe. I lost my temperance. Lord, help. You know, we got to win the battle, though. When that battle's lost, I'm going to tell you what to do. Don't give up. Don't say, well, it wasn't important anyway. Don't justify bad behavior. Don't justify poor living. Say, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to win not only that battle, but that battle is going to help me win the war. Eventually, I've got to win the war. If the North would have won, we would be drastically different as a nation today. Or if the South would have won. But it was important that the battle went on until there was final victory ebbed out. You know, I feel like sometimes, and maybe I don't want to shortchange the power of the gospel. I know the plan's perfect, but we're not always perfect in that plan. And sometimes that's what I feel like. We're ebbing it out. We're getting a little at a time. We're winning in a little time. Another war. I've made a point to know a lot about it. Brother Jim lived it and lived through it. But World War II, could you imagine World War II if the Germans and the Japanese had won? What if they had won and the Allies hadn't won? How much different would the world be today? It'd have to be drastically, drastically different if those different ideas had won. And do you know the truth of it was is that the Allies didn't win every battle? They didn't win every battle. You know, at the first of the war, they didn't hardly win any battles. Do you know there was a lot of things that went wrong? But there was people with vision that kept saying, we can win the war. We didn't win that battle, but we can win the war. But eventually, do you know that every battle that they fought had to be refought till they won it? There was a battle for North Africa. The Allies was desperate to be able to fight against Germany, and there was no way they could do it. They wasn't militarily strong enough to attack across the channel in main Europe. They could bomb a little bit with limitations. There was hardly anywhere to hit them, but they said, but we can hit them in North Africa. We can fight them at the far extents of where they're at, and we can fight them there. Do you know that they didn't win every battle down there? But in order to win the war, they had to start winning battles. They lost battles down there. They lost some, won some. But eventually, they won battles. Eventually, they conquered North Africa and run the Axis power out of North Africa. It was a starting place. From that point, they didn't win every battle. But they won more battles than they lost. You know, I see an analogy here in our lives. It's kind of like climbing a ladder. Some folks just want to jump up to the top. You don't go up a ladder that way. You put your foot on the bottom rung. You know that? You start on the bottom rung. And you want every rung to be there. You don't put rungs up 6 feet in the air and start from there. How are you going to get up there? You know, winning the war, being successful at the end, is conquering the first rung. You know, the first rung is a simplicity. I've got to conquer things about me way down here in the bottom. I can't let this go on in my life. There is people that I have known that have talked big. way beyond their lives. They talk big in the sense of, well, I see some bad things coming on the world. Some people believe that there's going to be another age of martyrdom. Going to have to give my life. Oh, they just talk like they're just ready for it. Comes down to it, and it's come down time for me to give my life. I'll give it for the Lord. I'm sitting there thinking, we ain't give the one you got to Him. You're going to do some great big thing. I lay down my life for the Lord. Give my life. I stretch my neck out and say, Lord, have your way. When you ain't even conquered the first rung of your ladder yet. You ain't even been faithful in the small things. That's a big thing. You're about to give the only life you ever had on this earth. You're about to say you're going to give it away, and you ain't done that. Some people that raise up their fists at one another and shake it in somebody's face and say, you cross me and you're going to get this. I know these people. I've known them. Say, I want to get, you cross me and you'll get this. Same one says, is all in the Lord. I'll let him take my head off. Oh yeah? You can't even keep it. You can't even have peace now. You ain't got the first rung. You haven't managed your temper. Lord help us. Attitudes. Lord help us. You know, conquering our attitudes is a rung on the ladder. It's a battle. It's a battle that sometimes, if I may be so bold to say, that I don't always win. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Sometimes I don't have a good control of my attitude. But I need to have. Because you know, winning the war is going to be made up of conquering ground. Winning the war is going to be made up of me conquering ground, and attitudes is one of those places that I need to conquer. I need to conquer my attitudes. I need to win that battle. I need to win those battles. And once you win the battle, you know the enemy's going to come try to take a ground from you. He's going to contest. The enemy will contest every foot of ground that you gain. The enemy's going to try to sneak back in there and get that ground from you again. He's always fighting for the same. He's fighting for that ground. The enemy of your soul is fighting for your ground. Do you know the devil wants to sow seeds in your life of hatred, of bitterness, of contention? It wants to sow it in your life. You conquer those things in your life, you got to set a sentry on them. you got to defend the ground that you won, because the devil's always trying to take the ground back. Paul says, I counted it all loss that I might win Christ. To me, that says that if he ever goes back and picks up any of that thing else, he's in violation of what he's winning. You understand what I'm saying? I counted it all loss and gave it up for Christ that I might win Christ. I've won Christ. It's not only winning. I want to see ultimate victory. But you know what the indication of ultimate victory is? Winning battles. Are you winning? It's a question only that you can ask. But are you winning the war? Are you saying, I'm winning my battles? I'm overcoming the places in my life. I'm getting victory in these things in my life. I'm gaining some ground. There was a time in World War II, they called it the phony war. France and Britain had a pact with Poland that if anybody was to attack Poland, that the French and the British would secure their borders. In other words, if you attack Poland, you attack us. So Germany attacked Poland, and so did the Russian. And they attacked Poland and conquered Poland in a very short time. And Britain and France had promised to secure their borders. In other words, now what are we going to do? They didn't want war. They saw that war was there. There was a time that they didn't do anything. It was called the phony war. Because they was at war, but nobody was doing anything. Now, folks, we can't fight a phony war. The devil's more than content to leave you where you're at. The devil knows that if you stay where you're at and don't conquer your ground, you're not going to conquer the war. You're not going to win the war. So he's content to leave you alone. Oh, he'll press at you to take your ground from you. Sure he will. But all I'm saying is that we can't afford a phony war. The day and time we live in, we should be very active. Pursuing. Redeeming the time. If I've got anything in my life, Lord, I don't know how much time I'm going to have to fix it. Help me, Lord, be able to fix my... Help me be able to conquer. Conquer. Win. If I win as I go, I'll win at the end. If I don't win as I go, I'm not going to win at the end. I heard something... I hear these things every once in a while. In a way, it's kind of comical to me, but in a way, it's very sad. There was a deal on NPR yesterday. No, it was on WVMR. I was listening to it. And they was having this little dilly of music and these musicians. And one of these guys, there was a band. And this band started off in this certain church. They had created this church. And it sounds like this band was in there. And it was very popular. This band was very popular. This guy played a steel guitar. And they was talking to him. And it got so popular that he moved it outside and went into more secular playings and all. And he was interviewing this guy. And the guy was saying one of the things, this is what he had. This is what he could do. His gift, you may say. That he had the ability to channel the Holy Ghost through him, through his guitar, into his music. He channeled the Holy Ghost. And he knew he did because his music through the Holy Ghost channeling through. He knew when it started happening because people started moving. Started moving their foot. They started dancing. They started swaying. He was moving them. He was moving them with the Holy Ghost. He was channeling the Holy Ghost. You buy that? No. He was doing what music does. Music has a way all of its own. And he was good with it. He was good with his guitar. And he had a band that had the right beeps and bops. And he got people swaying. Do you know that's no evidence of the Holy Ghost? None. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost will do to you. He changed your life. Now, I want to say if that guy was channeling the Holy Ghost through that guitar, I'd still have to say that the Holy Ghost comes with fire. The Holy Ghost comes with a broom, a fan in his hand, and he cleans the floor. He's a purger. He's a cleaner. I want to know, I don't know about the people moving and swaying. I want to know if it makes a man get along with his wife better. I want to know if it keeps a marriage going. I want to know if it keeps a guy from being bitter. I want to know if the Holy Ghost working through there makes a man overconquer his lustful ways and his sinful ways. I want to know. I want to see the evidence of the Holy, Holy, Holy Ghost. See? Not some movement of the flesh. Some be that change, and a person goes out of there, maybe on cloud nine, but their life ain't no better. You don't win the moments, folks. You win the battles. You want to win the battle. There's a lot of fraud out there. Lord, help us to be able to discern the difference. Because we got to win the war. Not just the battle. If I can come short in a battle, you know what I pray a lot of times, Lord? You give me that again? You know, in school, you take a test. It tells you what you know. You know what the test is for? The test is to see where you're at. That's what a test is. You got a test? You make a 50 on it? And you say, well, I'm only 50 of it then. Don't know it. Well, I ought to. Take a test and you ace that test, you make 100, you can say, I know the test. You know, we have tests in life. Battles, if you will. Things. And they're here to say, where are you at? If I was to ask you today where you're at and give yourself a grade, you might put in a report card on yourself and say, right here is where I'm at. But we'll tell you what's going to make you know it. It's a test. The test comes. The battle comes. And I think when the apostle looks at it all and he says where he was at and he gave his credentials, I'm going to tell you, if anybody had a reason to boast, if you think you can boast of your life, Paul says, I boast more than you can. 8 days of the tribes of Benjamin, the Hebrews of the Pharisee of the Pharisee. I sat at the feet of the great teachers and I done this and done that. I can boast. If you're talking about boasting to the flesh, I'll outboast you. But it's like it ain't valuable because it hasn't cleaned my life up. Understand what I'm saying? It's not valuable because I'm the same old man inside that I've always been. Romans 7, he says that. He said, I was under the law. I could do no better. And when I wanted to do sin was with me. I couldn't do no better. The law didn't give me anything. Being a great under the great teachers didn't do anything for me. I'm going to tell you something. Sitting under somebody playing the music doesn't do anything for you either. There's no power there to do it. But we're desperate to win. I want to win. You know, when I'm playing a game, of basketball, and if we're going to 10, and I've got 9, and you ain't got any, I'm winning. Understand what I'm saying? I'm winning. I'm about to win it. I can see the evidence of my winning. Score's cranking up. Old devil come in last time and thought he'd get me. I just humbled myself down as low as I could get. And I won the victory. Oh, devil come in and try to discourage me with, guess what, people. Try to discourage me. And I got the victory. Seen through it. I'm just as human as they are. We're all in it together. The scores. The scores starting to tally. Starting to get some scores. Starting to win some battles. You know, Jesus was on the cross and there was two guys on the cross. Two thieves. Murderers, thieves. Reprobates on the cross beside him. One of them says, he's the Son of God, get us down out of here. The other guy says, in my own words, what are you talking like that for? You and I, we deserve it. We're thieves. We're murderers. We should be hanging up here. This guy ain't done anything. And he says, Lord, remember me. It seemed like much of a battle, was it? You know that guy won a battle? He won a battle. He allowed something to happen inside of him that the other man wouldn't allow. Both going into eternity. You know how many people I marvel all the time when people get ready to go and coming down and you say, you could go into eternity. That still never give themselves over. But there was a perfect illustration, I think, that stands for the ages. Jesus between two thieves. One of them goes and gets to see the Lord in paradise. And the other one don't. Laid before us is a choice. Our battles. Many people want to be spectators. Where did I hear that recently? Almost 70. I didn't know it held that much. But I think they had a football game a few weeks ago in Morgantown. And there was 63,000 people or something like that there. Spectators. Watching. Dreaming, maybe. What? Fans. Spectators. You know, people want to be spectators of life. You may think you're being a spectator in this thing, but you're really not being a spectator. You're playing the game. And you're either winning or losing. In the eternal game, we're winning or we're losing. And winning is very important. It's the most important. And again, I want to reiterate this. You win the war by winning the battles. Win the battles. Don't allow something to be too small to say that's not important. That's not important for me to be faithful in. That's not important for me to give much. That's not important. Because Paul says, I suffer the loss of all things. Scripture over in 1 Corinthians.
Right at the end of the 51st verse says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You know, that sounds real good. Sounds real good. But is that a reality in our life? Can we say that's the reality of our life? Death, where's your sting at? Death holds sting. Where's it at? It's not there anymore because I'm saved. You understand? Is that the reality? Because so often it seems like it's not the reality of our lives. It's a word. It's a thought in the scriptures. But it's not a reality to my life that it still seems like death's got its sting to it. In many cases, still got its sting to it. But the scripture's saying you don't have a sting anymore. We don't die as other people die. It's talking of Christians. We don't die. We're not without hope. We're not the same as others are. Because it don't have any sting anymore. Because Christ took the sting away. It's a transformation. We leave this world and go to be with the Lord in the other. Beautiful story. Beautiful picture. But is it a reality? Am I winning this war? Am I winning this battle that I'm facing? Or is religion a facade that I have in my around my life? Or am I winning? Really winning this battle? Does this great salvation that the Lord bought and paid for affect my daily life? Should. I should be altogether different in my daily life than what I would be without it. I should do things different. I should see things different. I should have a power not to do away and not have thoughts, but to conquer my thoughts. To bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. The victory! I win. Isn't that wonderful? I win. This contest, and you may look and say, looks like he's losing. Do you know, to the disciples and to the world around, it looked like they lost. They come down and give their hearts. They followed the Lord. Listen. You know what this is equivalent of? These people were fishermen and carpenters and publicans, and they had their jobs, and the Lord come along and said, "Follow me."
And they gave it all. They laid their nets down. They put it aside. They followed the Lord. They put their heart into it. Where He went, they went. He discipled them. Went there. And there come a day that they crucified Him. And now He's dead. They've lost. Lost the battle. Doesn't it look like a loss? Surely they felt it. Surely they felt the loss of it. Peter says, I go fishing. It's the only thing I know to go back to. The one I followed is gone. I look like I've lost. You know, we look like we lose sometimes. I want to be honored. I want to live an honorable life. I want to be a trustworthy person. I want people to know here's a guy that will help you if you need help. Here's somebody you can trust and call us in. But you know, people don't always look at me like that. People will tell false stories on me. People will just not like me because they don't like me. All these things. I have ambition for that, but it doesn't mean people look at me like I want to be looked at. Sometimes it looks like such a failure to me. I've tried my best to be honorable and be noble and be like the Lord, and people think I'm something totally different. Well, feels like I'm losing. Feel like I'm lost. I've lost something. To lose is not to gain. Diminish or waste or go backwards. Lose. You know, the whole long process of a man's life living for God can deteriorate if you're not careful. You can lose. You can start losing ground, start wasting away things that once stood strong. You know, it just chips it away. A little at a time, a little at a time. Sometimes our human minds just does not remember what we should do. You ever been there and the Lord have to remind you? And you said, of course. Why? Somebody said something, I've got an attitude that I just dismiss them, just put them, blow them completely off the planet. And then the Lord reminds me, Lord. That's not what I want to be. That's not what I want to do at all. You know, I've got to go back and win that battle. I'm going to just recommend something. Win your battles. There's things to fight with. We have the great weapon of prayer. Never underestimate humility, folks. You want to battle the battle of salvation? You keep right there in your bag a lot of humility. Because it'll win you a lot of battles this way. See, Peter thought that he could win the battle by taking the guy's ear off. Well, Brother Larry said I doubt he swung for his ear. I think he just hit his ear. Now, what he was swinging at? Probably swinging at his head. I don't know. But he thought that was the battle. But the Lord looks and says, Peter, put your sword back in its sheath. That's not the battle. Our battle is not with sword and spears. It's not with flesh. Our battle is a battle in the spirit. In the inside. It's that I keep the love of God in my heart. It's that I keep the bitternesses out. It's that I maintain that spirit of God inside me that the Lord would have me to live life with. And when I see those things that are opponents, I recognize here's where I've got to battle. Now, I'm going to set my barriers and my work, and here's some places that I've got to do. I recognize from my youth, I recognize things that it's instilled in by my mom and dad's teachings. I have things in my life that was instilled by the culture that was around me. Not everybody was raised like I was in Central West Virginia and had the things. There was a lot of good things about it. But there's a lot of things that wasn't good about it and things to overcome and ways about it. I was taught, my mom and dad wasn't fearful people. And they were bold people about things. And they taught us to be the same way. Mom was the kind that said, you heard something in the middle of the night out on the porch? You heard a noise out there? Go out and see what it is. She said that many times. Go outside and see what it is. Then you won't be afraid of it, because it ain't nothing to be afraid of. Well, that's the way we was taught. You know, we grew up that way. You know, I find some value in some of that. And you know, some of it ain't worth anything at all. It's actually something I got to overcome when I start living for the Lord. And I start taking the attitude, I'll just do it myself. Will you? No, you won't. You got to learn. You know, there's a lot of things I have to learn that I need to conquer. In my house, we weren't, let's say this, compassion I don't think run very deep in my house. And by my nature, I'm not a compassionate person. And by my learning, I wasn't a compassionate person. In trying to preach the gospel and do what I do, how could you not be compassionate? See the conflict? Battle. Battle. Battle and battle. And you'll have your battles too. But what I want to encourage you to do, don't dismiss the battle. Because if you win in the small things, it gets you up to the bigger ones. And you'll win. You'll gain ground and win. And you'll be a winner. And ultimately, I believe this is the way to win the war. You win the battles. You win the battles of your life. You drive the enemy back. In World War II, the heart of the German was Berlin. They longed to see the day that we surround Berlin. Because they had their great Third Reich, they called it. It spread all over the world. But they started at the edges, winning what battles they could. They won this battle and drove them back. The war wasn't over. It was going to be a lot of death and carnage. But they'd won a battle. And you have to win this battle. You have to win this battle before we win the next one. There come a time that everything was done and the Allies needed to cross the channel. They needed to go across on D-Day. And Brother Jim used to tell us about it. There will come a time. It's time. A great fierce battle looms ahead of us. We're never going to win the war until we jump across here. And there's going to be a lot of suffering. There's going to be a lot of carnage. There's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of things. And listen, they got across there and got a foothold. It did not mean the war was over. It just meant they had won a decisive battle. Got their toehold in. Now I've got something to grip a hold of that I can conquer more and more. I think the Lord wants to see the progression. I think the Lord, you know, they do that a lot in school. A lot of times they'll say the most improved student. You know, they don't downgrade that, even though the guy's score might still be way below others. But that's improved. That speaks so highly. It's so honorable, so respected that they got in there and they got to talk. Now they got somewhere they can go. All the great mathematician Albert Einstein. I've heard claims that he used to fail math, but he became one of the greatest physicist minds in our time. Well, maybe our time, but the time before. But he was a great because he didn't quit. He won. One battle after another. Lord help us. One rung after another. Don't try to jump up on the middle of the ladder. Conquer the first rung first. Conquer the next rung next. Conquer them right on and you'll look up 20 feet in the air and say, I'm supposed to be up there. There's a way up there. One rung at a time. Get those under your belt. Get them conquered and we'll win the war. You pray for me.